really what I want to do is take any questions that you might have about what Mike was just talking about. It's revolutionary in a way, especially when you take a look at what the Western Church looks like and where it is that we want to go. And so what we're trying to do over the next few weeks is to describe what God has been showing the elders of where we're headed. And we think that we probably did a bad job of that in the past. And we had a lot of questions that people had that didn't get answered. And we want to make sure that going forward that we answer those questions and that we let everybody know so we're moving as a team, because we do not want to be the Israelites wandering in the desert just because that's comfortable. That's what we know. We want to be Joshua and Caleb. We want to operate in the power of God, our risen Savior. And that's where we are headed. So we're going to take a few weeks and let you know what that is. But I'm really here to answer any questions that you guys might have, any misunderstandings, anything that you're kind of going, wait a second, I don't understand it. How does this relate to that? Or what have you. So I'm hoping that somebody's got some questions, some word of wisdom or something that they want to know. You can have a question.
What does it mean when you say we have the authority to trample on scorpions and such?
That's from Luke 10, I believe, and I cannot remember the verse. Christ is telling the apostles that they have the authority and the power to overcome everything that life throws in them, throws at them. And I think this is right before the 70 go out.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to remember.
No weapon fashioned against us shall prosper.
Yeah.
You know, and then he tells them, you have authority. It's like Moses. Moses cries out, what do I do? And he says, use your rod. I give you authority. The rod of authority. I gave it to you. You own it. Why are you calling on me?
Yeah. So just to know that we have that authority. That is Christ's promise to his apostles. And because we step in, well, that's a whole long story, but because we step into that apostleship through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, we have that same power and authority.
And scorpions and, I can't remember, spiders? No.
Serpents.
Serpents. Are representative of not scorpions and serpents, but actually of evil? Evil. We have the power over evil.
Demons.
We do.
I mean, it's because we live in houses and we have nice yards and stuff, so we're not fighting scorpions and serpents most of the time. But I take that to mean, and boy, you can really feel that in the, like we were speaking in the prayer time, how the spiritual warfare is just all around us, and it's so intense. And so while we see our country trying to rebuild, we also feel that pressure, you know, And I think that's what that's saying, is that we can call on God to attack what's attacking us, as far, but not in a real sense, but even spiritual warfare.
Yeah. One of the interesting things is, and we can get stuck a lot of times being focused on one specific area that God's working in our lives for. You know, it could be healing, it could be demonic oppression, it could be just anything. And one of the things we'll be teaching on is how, as a body of believers, that it's our job to minister to the body. It's our job to help each and every one of us to walk through those valleys, to be more than conquerors, to harness and open those gifts that God has already given us so that we are able to step on scorpions and snakes and, you know, all of that stuff. It is one of the things that we don't see because we're in Western civilization is we really don't see demons. We don't understand that is real. Paul tells us that it is real. He tells us that that battle belongs to the Lord, but that we've got the power to do that. Christ lives in us. And so we have all Christ's power, and letting Christ live through us, those spiritual battles we can overcome with. Betty.
So what it speaks to me when it talks about the serpents and the scorpions is people look at those two things as being dangerous. And God's saying, don't focus on the danger, focus on the authority that I gave you.
Amen.
And to, you know, don't walk in fear of any danger.
That's right.
Because he has them covered.
Yeah, it is the land of milk and honey that we're headed to. Hey, somebody new. I love questions. Yes.
It's not really a question. It comes from spending time with him to gain. It comes, how can I say it? Another way to be able to trample over,
only if you want somebody else to hear me.
I'm not using this.
It's like an ice cream cone, you gotta get it close.
Yeah, there it is.
You're not the only soft-spoken one here, so.
Yeah, and I'm actually kind of nervous a little bit, but it's not really, the way that we can also, we know that we have the authority, but yet do we remember to fast and pray like he said? Because when we fast and pray, we gain more than what you think. He'll show you things. Because he said, have you not perceived the thing that I am doing? But how will you know if you actually don't do what he asked you to do? Which is fasting and praying, because you can see all kinds of things. You can come to know all kinds of things, like the prophets back in the days where they did things to prove their point, like the snake where they threw it down. He's like, oh, I got one too. And he was like, well, just throw your stick down there. It will do it. Really? A stick? He could have second guessed it, but with the remembrance of what all that he's done for you throughout your time of living and also seeing it in other people's lives, it'll give you that strength and that confidence back that you think you lost. But if you remember, you know, meditate and remember the things that he's done for you, it'll give you that sense of joy and freedom mixed in with it, courage and strength. And you can also come encounter with a lot of things with fasting and praying, because I know I have. And I think the reason why that kind of like trickles and kind of withers you is when you don't allow yourself, or when you allow something because of unknowing, and so you kind of like go for it. How can I say it? I don't know how to say it.
Give me a minute.
I know. Even Jesus, even the name of Jesus. Because some people actually do see things. People actually can feel things. And when you're on your own, and you have really no worries about anything else besides your responsibilities of working. Come over here. It's easier, but when you have, well, no, not really. But yeah, it can be at the same time. I'm keeping on rambling.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. She's absolutely right. I mean, I talk kind of in a generic Western world, Western civilization kind of thing. That's when I'm talking about we, who don't necessarily see that the spiritual. In the Eastern civilizations, they do. And we know that spirits and demons exist. We know that they're out there, that they are doing battle against us each and every day. And so it is our job to rest in Christ for his power to be able to defeat them. And we're so blessed and so thankful that we've got a body of believers here who understand and take joy in that. So we're moving. We are changing. It's going to be interesting. We believe in the New Testament. We believe what God tells us in his word. And that is what we're going to live. We're going to teach everybody how to live that. So, any more questions? Because don't be done. Don.
You just made that really clarified for me. We are not called to defeat demons. We are called to let God live through us, and he will defeat the demons for us. We don't defeat the demons. He will do that.
Absolutely, and it's already done. What you'll find is I'll wait for a very long time, because I don't want anybody to miss an opportunity to ask a question, because we all benefit from it.
Yeah. Are the elders planning to, I could ask this at home, but are you planning to do to communicate all that? Will you be doing how do I want to say this, business meeting? No, we'll just do it as things come along and we're making changes. Yeah, okay, gotcha.
We are. The plan is, as it stands right now, and you know, we're open to the Holy Spirit, so tomorrow we can change. But the plan right now is to spend the next several weeks teaching on each individual part of where it is that we're going, so that we all arrive at the train station at the same time. We're all leaving from, again, kind of Western civilization religion and moving towards that land of milk and honey, that land of understanding God's gifting, of understanding our responsibilities to the body and to the world as revealed to us in the New Testament. Something that's a lot more akin to the New Testament church. Not so much, I mean, we're going to use this in order to teach, but not so much as Mike or I or Don standing up here and giving information as it is the body ministering to the body. So when we get there, that's where we're headed. I want everybody to understand for sure that that's where we're going. We ain't there yet, but that is where we're headed. We're going to use some of the tools that we have that we're used to and that we're comfortable with now in terms of teaching that. But the goal, seriously, is to be that church that Christ imagined, his church, his body, his bride, and how we live that today. Yeah.
So our last pastor, Jesse, he always taught us that the Israelites were God's chosen people. And so all those promises in the Old Testament and everything was just for them. So I feel like we've been learning that we are Christ's bride. So are we able to use some of those promises in the Old Testament? Then because this is like the Old Testament story, and so for Jesse, this whole thing would have been a no-no, right? But can you explain that?
Yeah, I can try. It's real interesting. The Old Testament, we get a ton of stories, and they talk to us about the character of God, and they talk to us about His chosen people. In the New Testament, we are something brand new. We are just newly created. It didn't exist in the Old Testament. Some of the promises of the Old Testament don't apply to us. They apply to the Jews. Some of the promises in the Old Testament do apply to us. Not that we're a replacement to the Jews. Again, we are something brand new. Revelation tells us that the Jews will, in fact, inherit the earth. The same thing that God promised them years, millennium ago. So that we're still headed there. I don't want anybody to get lost in something from the Old Testament and say, oh, I have that, or I don't have that, because that's really not what the process is, because we're really going to be focusing more on who we are in Christ, what it is that we have based on the cross. Everything in the Old Testament points to the cross. Everything after that is us. You know, and so we're going to live in the us. We're going to refer to the Old Testament because the Old Testament lays groundwork and tells us how we are. What Mike was teaching on this morning is just, it's amazing. I mean, you've got the Israelites who spend 400 years in captivity, who God brings out of that through Moses in a way that is absolutely miraculous. Absolutely miraculous. And a few days later, they're going, you know what? I can't do that, so I want to stay here. I want to go back to that which I know. That is not what this, I'll just say this way, that is not what God is showing Mike and Don and me. He's showing us the promised land, the land of milk and honey, and that's what we want to go to. That's where we want to live. That's what we want to get a hold of, because that's what God has for us. You know, in Old Testament terms, it's a land of milk and honey. In New Testament terms, it's fertile. It's a land of power. It's a land of communion. It's a land of reaching out to others. It's a land of just being recognized and drawing people to Christ. And that's what our focus will end up on. But it's first we've got to get the body all together and in the same place and moving forward. So, yes, sir.
Might I just say, I don't know if this is on, the thing that we're talking about is where we came from. Read the book of Acts. That's the land flowing with milk and honey.
But, Acts is.
You know, when you take a look at the early church and how they lived, how they operated, what they did, how the Spirit moved among them, how God used them, how people were getting saved every day, people were added to their number. Every day people were transformed. That was just standard. Why are we not seeing that? Why are we not seeing healings and miracles and words of wisdom and words of knowledge and people walking in these gifts that God says He poured out as promised land gifts? Milk and honey. It's for all of God's people. It's for the church, God's called out ones. That's who we are. We're not trying to go somewhere except back to where the church has left its identity, its DNA, and has gotten confused and has exchanged religion for a relationship with a powerful God who is transformational. He fills us, He works in us, He works through us, and we should be mighty women and men and women of God, mighty warriors, and we should be seeing these things. The question that we're asking is, why aren't we seeing in us what we see in the first century church? Why? Well, we know why, and that's what we want to investigate. Get back to who we really are. Get back to our foundations. Like
Ephesus, where he says to them in Revelation, get back to your first love. You forgot who you were. You forgot you were in love with Jesus. Now you're in love with religion. Now you're in love with programs. I want you to get in love with Jesus and the Spirit and see the incredible fruit. A cluster of grapes that takes two guys to carry. That's the kind of fruit he's offering us that is ours. We have everything we need for life and godliness, but we sometimes are blind to our own identity, and that's it. In our own eyes, we're grasshoppers. Satan's pretty big. We're grasshoppers. Unbelief is pretty big. That's why you can't get people saved. That's why people aren't coming to Christ. Culture's pretty big. No, no, no. God's bigger. God's bigger. And we want to see people get saved, transformed, turned on, turned around. God wants to do that. That's the promised land of which we speak.
Absolutely. Anything else?
I think I can answer Julie in part so you can help understand the difference between Christianity and Judaism. We are the branch that was grafted into that very same tree. So our roots draw from the same resource that the Jewish roots do. But it's only through Jesus Christ, who was born of a Jewish woman and Father God, but gave himself as a once and for all offering for our salvation. And because the Judaism, for the most part, there are Messianic Jews that believe in Jesus Christ and bow to him. But for Judaism as a separate religion, they still deny Jesus Christ as being their Messiah. And therefore, they had broken covenant with him, even though he never breaks covenant with anyone. But because they have broken it, they have taken away the protection of the covenant. So they come under a lot of things that the prophets foretold from Moses on. So anyway, we are brothers and sisters of the Jews. Whether they believe or not, the Jews are no different than the world in that they need to come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ as their Messiah too. Does that help? Goodbye,
Sarah. Anything else? Yeah.
I think it's a part of also when you believe there's a It's in Revelations where he talks about the first love. And not love isn't the only thing that just keeps the relationship. It's the willingness to go through everything, even when we don't feel like it. Because, you know, with you and your wife, you might have done something to make her mad. And she probably won't stay mad for long, but because of that distance that she took to be able to not be mad for long might have made you weary. Or, you know, he said to come back to your first love, but the thing is, coming back, what caused you to go out to where now you gotta come back? Is it because of the allowing of, you know, the worries where he talks about the parable of the seed sower? Kind of sort of the cares of the world, or maybe because you're scared of yourself that you might mess up to where you feel like you're not good enough now. Or there's a lot of things that can... the willingness... I totally lost train of thought.
That's okay.
Yeah, I'm really.
I know it's Lenore.
Yes, ma'am.
Brittany.
Yes, ma'am.
I have to tell you something.
That, yeah. She was just, you know, moving back and forth and stuff. And so when Pastor was talking about how the Israelis, or the Jews went through the Red Sea, I got this weird thought in my mind that the kids that were going with them, maybe were looking into the Red Sea going, is that a shark, Dad? Is that, see that? That right there? You know? I mean, they had all this water and all these fish. And, sorry. It was weird. But I thought there were kids there too, you know, and they were playing and going, oh, what's that?
It'd be an interesting walls to be walking through.
Yeah, right.
I have no idea what that looked like, but I can imagine. Any other questions about where we are headed?
Comments. In relation to what she was saying about the first love.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus stated in John, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will obey me. Mm-hmm. So we have to know what he's commanded or commissioned us to do and love him enough to do it. We have to trust him enough to obey when he says something.
I know, but I'm trying to
pay attention. And not go around and ask 35 different people for their opinion on what he told you.
Yeah.
Before you even begin to act, because then it's a month later.
Now, our goal is for everyone to truly fall in love with Christ.
I'll tell you, it's worth it.
Oh, yeah. No, the ecstasy of loving Christ, of knowing Christ, is where we're really headed, is for everyone to truly love Christ. Okay. Since I'm not seeing a whole lot of questions at the moment, I'm going to say this. We'll have this going on each week as we go forward, but as you leave here today, if you think of another question or something, I want you to call me. Because I want to get that question answered. I don't want you pondering it and wondering it all week long when we can get you an answer right away, when we can get something that was misunderstood clarified. So if you come up with something as you're leaving or Thursday or whatever, please call me. I want to get that resolved and solved so that we're moving forward in clarity. Misunderstanding is a terrible thing. I know what we're sending. I'm not certain what you all are receiving, but I want to make sure that if you have any questions, if you're just going, oh, that can't be what they said, call me and get clarity on what that was. And with that, I'm going to close in prayer. I'm going to say, Father God, thank you again for what you're doing here. Thank you for the gift of your Son. Thank you that wherever we are, he is also. Help us to remember always that God is right here. All we have to do is grab hold of his hand. That through your power, through your plan, we are united with you. We do have all of that power. We need to just recognize that. I ask, Father, that you would bless us as we go out throughout the week, and that we would be able to just enjoy one another as we see each other and spend time with each other for those different opportunities. And I'm so very thankful for everything that you do for us. And I just give this time to you, and I give this week to you in Jesus' name. Amen. As Mike would say, now go play!